Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Luke chapter 19. We'll start in verse 1. May also help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, "Our hero today is Zacchaeus. Like Zacchaeus, get out on a limb for Jesus." I heard a funny story about this fella who was super strong. He was the director of a local fitness club, and he had a standing challenge. He had such strength in his grip that he had a $1,000 offer for anybody who could take a lemon that he had already squeezed and squeeze just one more drop out of it. Give him $1,000. Well, people had tried, professional wrestlers had tried, construction workers had tried, nobody could take him. I mean, he would hand that wrinkled bit of lemon rind to them and nothing came out until one day, a little fellow walked in, wasn't very big, kind of skinny looking, and he says, "I'll take the $1,000 challenge. I need the $1,000. Everybody just kind of laughed. They gathered around to see this spectacle. And that big, muscular fitness director named Joe just squeezed that lemon. He crushed it. There was hardly any rind left to it. And he put it over in this little fellow's hand. He put a vice grip on it. And he clenched down on it. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drops of lemon came out of there. Everybody was astonished. As Joe paid him $1,000, he said, "Sir, you got to tell me who you are. Are you a dairyman? Are you a lumberjack?" He said, "No, sir. I work for the IRS. Now, I want to introduce you to the most famous tax man of all. His name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, IRS. I'm rich and short. That's what you could call Zacchaeus. Well, he was a tax man that we've all heard about, and particularly we've been at Vacation Bible School. And at Vacation Bible School, you generally, in the olden days, I'll date myself, I'm an old school guy, you would sing that song about Zacchaeus. How did it go? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in, remember the motions, the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Savior passed that way, and he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Now, that little beautiful song by a lady named Elise Leslie has been in the popular culture for a long time. And it essentially encapsulates the story of Zacchaeus. And today, I want us to see why Zacchaeus went from zero to God's hero. And friends, we have that same capacity. We don't have to live lives that are meaningless, lives on the back road. We have the capacity to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll make all the difference for you. Well, let's come now to Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Jesus is on the way to the cross, but he goes through Jericho. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. He was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So Zacchaeus ran ahead, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for Jesus was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down, and he received Jesus gladly. And when they saw it, the crowd that is, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped, and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back 4 times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." And then please lock down on verse 10. Grip it and let it grip your heart. because this unlocks God's purpose for Jesus and for our lives. Listen to verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray for a moment. Dear Father, oh, we come to you and we ask that you would let us learn this lesson from Zacchaeus and what you did and how you declared your purpose for all time, and your purpose then becomes our great commission. Pray, Lord, that you would get me out of the way. I ask that your Spirit would be released among us and you would deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. I want you to understand that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Now, just to make this very clear and get it fixed into your mind, if y'all ever lost your keys? Oh, my goodness. Somebody needs to put a chip on these keys so they go off and you get a little clicker and you can just go find them. Man, I've lost my keys before. We've all lost our keys. And the problem with lost keys, they can't fulfill their purpose. If you've lost your keys and this is the key to your house, that key is not there to fulfill its purpose. If you lost your keys and this is the key to your car, you can't start the engine because the keys are lost. And misplaced things can't achieve their purpose. Have you ever lost your cell phone? Oh, my goodness. You know, I feel sorry for ladies because they don't have a pocket. And I've never seen a lady with one of those clips on their belt carrying their cell phone because, I mean, I got girls. I'm telling you. Do you know how many hours I've spent looking for cell phones? I even heard a funny story that this fellow the other day, he had his cup of coffee. It had gotten cold in his cell phone. And he went up to the microwave and he put the cell phone in the microwave instead of the coffee and it didn't do well. Anyway, we can misplace things. We can do crazy things. But I'm here to tell you, if you've lost your cell phone, it can't achieve its purpose. You can't make a call. You can't send a text. You can't look up things. You can't check your email. You see, lost things, misplaced things can't achieve their purpose. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came making a declaration that he was going to seek that which is lost. And a lost person is simply someone without Jesus. They are misplaced, and they are not achieving what God has designed for them. So keep that into your heart and mind, because we're going to do two things. We're going to look, number one, at Zacchaeus, and then number two, at the Savior. So let's begin here with number one, Zac, the profile of a normal guy. Zac is the profile of a normal guy. I would suggest to you that Zacchaeus represents every person who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And there are 7.5 billion people on the planet, and there are a lot of people that don't know Jesus. This seems to be par for the course, but normality is what I would call it. Now, let me further explain that. A lot of times we look around and we see people who don't know Jesus and we call them different things. We call them unbelievers. We call them unchurched. We call them pagans, heathens. But what did Jesus call them? He called them lost, because something that is lost, it can't fulfill its purpose. And Jesus is saying there are a lot of lost people out there and I care about their lostness. I'm going to go looking for them. Our friend David Platt, who's the head of the International Mission Board, has quite a saying. He said, the only thing worse than being lost is being lost and knowing that no one is looking for you. You see, Jesus came looking for the lost. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants to have us join him in this task. Well, here is Zacchaeus. This man is a normal person. He is misplaced, useless, he's confused, he is searching like a guy who has lost his way, and he wants to connect to Jesus. Because when you connect to Jesus, you go from normal actually to abnormal. You see, when you become a follower of Jesus, a real follower of the Jesus, you quit going with the current of the world and you go against the grain of the current of the culture. You become different. As a matter of fact, Paul said you become an alien, a foreigner, a stranger. That's because we learned in Philippians 1:20 that we are citizens of heaven. Oh yes, Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. You're different. So we begin by understanding Zacchaeus is a normal, washed man. Now, let's go to the A part, because I want you to understand that without Jesus, none of us measure up. None of us measure up. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when you think of Zacchaeus, what do you generally think of? You think of the man who is a wee little man, short of stature. I've got to confess, I have a very vivid imagination. And when I think of Zacchaeus, I see Danny DeVito. You know Danny DeVito, that actor who's a lot of times a villain. My favorite part of Danny DeVito is Matilda. We have played that for our family. It is a classic. And there Danny DeVito is this short, bald, overweight guy, and he sells used cars, and he cheats everybody who comes into his car lot. And that's Zacchaeus to me. Just a swindler. He is a rotten guy. He is out totally for himself. Well, this little guy is vertically challenged, so he's challenged of stature. But even more importantly, he is a wee little man spiritually. He certainly doesn't measure up spiritually because he had sold out. He sold his soul to the Roman government for their gold. Now, here's how it worked in that day. A tax gatherer, and Levi or Matthew on Jesus' team was a tax gatherer. A tax gatherer would make a deal with the Roman government that they would collect their tax. But the way it worked is anything you could collect above the tax, it was yours. So by default, many of the tax gatherers became almost robbers, extortioners. Now, Zacchaeus lived where? He lived in Jericho. Jericho was one of the trade routes to Egypt. Jericho is fed by the Jordan River, and it runs from the Sea of Galilee, 68 miles down to the Dead Sea. And so the caravans would follow the path of the river. It was a very fertile area. They would raise fruits and vegetables and olives and grapes. You could raise anything. And then they would sell balsam wood. They would sell minerals. Oh, and everybody who came through, they got taxed to use the Roman road. And so who was the chief tax gatherer? None other than Zacchaeus. So this man, he like owned an ATM. He had the keys to the vault. He no doubt would have a caravan coming through, and maybe the cost to travel on the road was $10. He would charge them $50. And he had the Roman soldiers to back him up, so there was nobody that would call him out or put him down. So this guy had grown exceedingly rich. He had sold his soul for Roman gold. Now, he basically was spiritually bereft. Now, this man, he didn't measure up to God's standard. And frankly, I want you to be aware of this, that none of us do, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's do a quick survey. If you have ever done anything wrong, would you raise your hand? Okay, got a few liars in the back, but otherwise, we're all in that category. The Bible says, by our nature, and that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, and by our choices, we are sinners. Now, here's what we don't really get. God is love, but God is holy, holy, holy. Remember Isaiah 6? God is what? Holy, holy, holy. And when we sin, God is affronted. He is offended by our sin, but not only is he holy, he's our judge. And he is obligated to judge our sin. So we don't measure up. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you've got to be perfect to measure up. Sometimes we like to measure ourselves beside people who have big problems. You know, you see somebody who is hungover and they've just been puking in the gutter after a fun night having a party. And there they are laying in a pool of vomit, just having such a great time. And you say, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. I really look pretty tall compared to that guy laying down who's looking small. You know, that guy looks like Zacchaeus. I'm pretty good compared to him. But that's not the point of measure. I remember when my kids were little, they used to love to get right beside Mary Ruth, my three daughters. And there would be Sarah just kind of inching up, getting closer to Mary Ruth's neck. And the next thing you know, she passed her. And Mary Austin and Alex had passed her. But it was so fun. They would measure against Mama. You see, we like to measure ourselves against other people. But do you know what God says? We measure our righteousness, not against the righteousness of other people or even ourselves, because our righteousness is like a filthy rag. We measure ourselves against Jesus. And when I measure my good deeds, my righteousness against Jesus, it's like I'm a pebble of sand and Jesus is the sun. That's how high above me he is and above you. So please understand the basic truth that nobody measures up. That's why we are in desperate need of a Savior. Which brings us to the second point, B, he was desperately seeking the Lord. Oh, I want you to understand this about this normal guy, Zacchaeus, who was lost as a goose flying north in the wintertime. Man, this guy was so lost. So here's what I want you to see. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was this rich man. He had all the toys of the world, but something was missing. He had an itch in his heart that his money couldn't scratch. Oh, I would imagine he was much maligned. People would make fun of him, and he would have the antidote. He would have the self-medication of taking his bag of gold out, spreading it on his table, and just for every malicious comment, he would just count out some of that gold. And he would feel good about it for a moment, but friend, I don't care what you try to replace Jesus with, it won't fill the hole in your soul. And that hole in the soul lets your joy leak out. You see, we're all created with a divine design. You have a special purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you can only achieve it when you connect your life to Jesus. So he was a man desperately seeking Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's so fascinating. He was so desperate that he did something very unusual. He ventured out in the crowd. He heard that Jesus was coming to town. Maybe he heard it from Matthew. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. Maybe they got together at a publican convention. Not a Republican, but a publican convention. And can't you just hear the chatter? Matthew says, look, my life has been 100% transformed. Zacchaeus, there's a guy named Jesus, and he called me away from my lost and meaningless life, and now my life is exploding with abundance, fulfillment, meaning, purpose, joy. And Zach, you could have that too. He said, oh, come on. Not for me. I've made too many mistakes. I'm sure he wrote Jesus off at first, but then something was compelling. And when he heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho, he was desperate. You see, he was a hated man, but he ventured out into the crowd, motivated by his desperation. The Bible says he even ran toward the crowd when they got the buzz that Jesus was coming. And then what did he do? He climbed a tree. Now, let's face it. As a kid, I loved to climb trees. In Texas, they were only about 4 feet tall, so I could conquer most of the trees on our place. But when was the last time a 40-year-old climbed a tree? Okay, you got to be desperate. You're either being chased by a dog or there's a flood arising and you got to get to higher ground. So when does a normal fella go climb a tree? Well, he climbs it because of desperation. He has to connect to Jesus. This is just a picture of Zacchaeus looking for the Lord. Now we come to some amazing good news, because Zacchaeus, he had tried to fill that hole in his soul with money, no doubt companionship. Maybe there were some illicit things that he participated in. We all try to fill that hole in our soul with something that creates a self-medication and dulls the pain of a meaningless journey to nowhere. And then who shows up? Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus, but really, here's the heart of it. Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus. Let's shift the gear to the star and write this down. Here, Jesus, he represents the purpose of a loving God. He is coming to seek and to save the lost. This is the ultimate search and rescue operation. So the scripture says here that Jesus is en route to the cross. He is traveling through Jericho, and he has two unique encounters. The first is with a man named Bartimaeus in Luke 18. Jesus is traveling along. His entourage is growing. And all of a sudden, in the back of the crowd, there's a man, a blind beggar. He's been blind since birth. So all he's known is begging and poverty and depredation and disability. And don't you know that his life is a wretched mess? If you were blind 2,000 years ago and you had to make your living begging, what would your personal hygiene look like? What kind of relational world would you have? It would be horrible. And yet somehow Bartimaeus summoned the faith when he heard Jesus was passing by to say, "Hey, Jesus, Son of David, would you have mercy on me?" And all the people around him said, "Be quiet. Be quiet. Don't bother the master." They were essentially saying, "You're not worth it. You don't have enough worth and value for Jesus to take the time to deal with you." But he would hear none of it. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears him, the most unlikely candidate to be touched that day. And Jesus comes and he makes his blind eyes sighted. Jesus touched the down and out, and he touches the up and out, because the next person he encounters is who? Goes from Bartimaeus to Zacchaeus. One who's low, one who's high. One who's poor, one who's rich. But you see, the down and out need the Savior as much as the up and out. They're just as lost. And so that's what Jesus is trying to show. The entire spectrum of society and civilization is the same. That's the normal condition of humanity. We're lost without him. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care where your travel takes you. Without Jesus, there's something missing. You are lost. So this is the purpose of God, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, watch this really quickly. Three things. I want you to learn these truths about the rescuing Jesus. A, he knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. The first word that Jesus spoke when he came to the bottom of that sycamore tree was, "Zacchaeus." How did he know his name? Because he's God. He knew everything about that man. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 1 on your worksheet, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." The scripture goes on to say, "When I lie down, when I rise up, you know the innermost thoughts of my heart." Jesus knows everything about us, our warts, our secret sins. He knows you best and loves you the most. Let that great truth sink down into your spirit. Jesus knows you the best, and yet he loves you the most. I'm sure over the years, Zacchaeus had been called a lot of names. A lot of names that were bad because he was a bad man. And yet Jesus gives music to his ears when he says, "Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down." I would have you understand the great truth of Isaiah 43:1. Listen to this. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." You see, the great hunger of the human heart is for belonging. We all want to belong, don't we? We want to belong to families. We want to belong to a tribe or a group. When homeless kids, and a lot of times they grow up without much family, they go and belong to a gang. We all have this craving, a wiring for belonging. And see, Zacchaeus was like that. He wanted to belong. And that's what Jesus came to do, to say, "Zacchaeus, you count. I know everything about you. I know your flaws. I know your warts. I know your secret sins. I know your greed. I know everything you've done, and yet you belong to me. I want you on my team." Friends, that's the heart of the good news. Jesus knows everything about you, and he wants you on his team. Now, let me tell you why that makes so much sense. A lot of times we base our value on appearance, on our abilities, our achievements. We base our values on the things that we can accomplish. But there's a better way, because all of those things can change in a moment. Your affluence can be wiped out with a bad financial decision. Your appearance can be changed with an automobile wreck or a stroke. Your abilities can be taken away from you in a flash. You see, your accomplishments will be exceeded by others. So if the standard that you base your self-worth and identity on are these perishables that will change, that's unwise. So Jesus comes to give you a new standard, and that is your identity in Jesus. that is unbreakable. It is unchangeable who you are in Christ. He wants you to belong to Him. And furthermore, not only does Jesus know your name, He knows your need. And He knows, under the B, that He knows what you need is a relationship with God, the God who created you, the God who loves you. You see, He calls Zacchaeus by name and He said, come down because I want to have a connection to you. Now, the citizens who were probably surrounding that moment, the citizens of Jericho, they knew that Zacchaeus was a terrible person. He was greedy. He was an extortioner. He was a swindler. He was the worst of the worst. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish mantra of their day, the Jews said that you could not go into the synagogue if you were a murderer, an adulterer, or a tax gatherer. You were banned from the synagogue. You were considered to be so sorry. And yet, who does Jesus pick to eat lunch with? All right, all the crowd, they're probably thinking, oh my goodness, He is calling him down from that tree to give him an excoriating denunciation. I mean, after all, he is a sorry fraud, he's a swindler, he's betrayed our country, he's a thief, and I'll bet you Jesus is going to blast him with His holy righteousness. I mean, that guy's pond scum. He's a bum. And what does Jesus do? Does Jesus eat his lunch? No, He invites him to lunch. That's what He does. And the people were shocked. You know what they were saying in their hearts? Well, some kind of rabbi he is. He's soft on sin. No, this is the quintessential moment that shows Jesus hates sin, but He loves sinners. He loves sinners. So He goes home to eat lunch with Zacchaeus. Now, I don't know what the menu was. I bet they had hummus, though. Probably some good fruit, olives from that region. And then what they really had was the truth of God for dessert. And Zacchaeus heard that God had a purpose for even him. And Zacchaeus probably heard the ABCs. He admitted he was a sinner. He believed that Jesus was the Savior. And he confessed his sin. He repented. And he came out a transformed man. And the way you know you've really met Jesus and transformed, it affects the way you walk and talk. And what did he do? He said, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. The extortioner has become a philanthropist. He's going to say, I'm making restitution for everybody I've cheated. You get four times that which I've taken back. This selfish man becomes a giver. It's a beautiful picture of transformation. And this is what Jesus does when He touches a life. He's transformed me. And if He's touched your life, I can guarantee you He has transformed you. And the last reason for that is in number C. It's because He sees your potential. All the people of that day looked at Zacchaeus and they saw a mean, dirty, rotten scoundrel, a sinner, a betrayer, a worthless person that was a reject and a throwaway, but not Jesus. Do you know how Jesus saw Zacchaeus? He sees him in the same way that He sees you. He didn't see a sinner. He saw a potential saint. Did you know that the name Zacchaeus literally means pure one? That was his name. Don't you know his mom and dad had high aspirations? They call him Zacchaeus or the pure one. He turned out anything but. Yet Jesus saw within him potential. It reminds me of the botanist Luther Burbank. Do you know Burbank, California is named for Luther Burbank? Now, in that area that is surrounded by desert and has so much cactus, Luther Burbank, a botanist, he saw some cactus and he thought their form was beautiful, but he hated the thorns. So he kept working with them. He was a horticulturalist and a botanist until he created cactus without thorns. That's how Jesus sees us. Oh, he sees our potential. He looks beyond our thorns, beyond our flaws, beyond our foibles, beyond our mistakes and self-defeating behavior. And He invites us into a relationship with Him that'll change everything. That's how Jesus operates. And that's what He's doing with us right now. He is inviting us into a relationship that will change us forever because He sees our potential. It reminds me of the little lady who went to the assisted living. It was her first day at assisted living, and she just was a little nervous but excited because she liked people. And it was 5 o'clock, time for supper, and she was sitting outside of the doorway of the cafeteria, and all these people were coming by, and she noticed a very handsome guy. Kind of looked like Colonel Sanders. Had that little goatee and cool white hair. And she noticed he didn't have a wedding ring on, and she was just staring at him. Well, that fellow comes up to her and says, "Ma'am, I see you're new here, and I also noticed that you're staring at me. Why are you staring at me?" She said, "Well, sir, you look like my third husband." She said, "Your third husband? How many times have you been married?" She said, "Twice." Don't you like it when people see potential in others? Well, that's how Jesus is. He looked at Zacchaeus, this dirty, rotten sinner, and he saw a saint. This man covered with thorns, with deficiencies, and Jesus said, "Is a saint in the making." Well, here's the bottom line. Here's the application. I want you to take this away. The application for believers, and we all are former Zacchaeuses if we follow Jesus, is be like the tree. Be like the tree. Let me explain that. Be like the tree. Do you know what that means? I've been to Jericho several times, and right outside of the city, there's this enormous sycamore tree. It's probably 50 feet tall, and they call it the Zacchaeus tree. And in my sanctified imagination, it's easy to relive this Bible story that we all know and love. But I thought to myself, the last time I saw that tree, that's what I want to be. I want to be like that tree. Because what did that tree do for Zacchaeus? It lifted him above the crowd so that he could see Jesus. So that's our job. We're to be like a sycamore tree, lifting people above the crowd so they can see Christ. I want to let you know we did that this week through our Vacation Bible School. We had 1,266 people who came and enrolled in some way or the other. Unbelievable. So we had a group that met right in here on Wednesday, about 240 fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And I shared the gospel with them and then gave them a survey so that they could tell whether or not they're ready to follow Jesus. And we had 37 of them precisely that said yes. 37 precious, tender-hearted kids that said, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." So a group of us took those names, and we were following up. And we began to make phone calls. On Saturday, I called a bunch of people, and this is amazing. I mean, just I made four phone calls. I made phone calls to some people who are in our church, and they're ready to stand for the Lord. Like a little girl named Emma Jane Strickland, just a regular First Baptist girl, most natural thing in the world to follow Jesus. But then my next call was to the Foo family, F-O-O. They had been brought to our church. Got to talking to them. These two boys had given their life to Christ. Their daddy's a professor. And I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "From Trinidad, Trinidad." The next lady I called was from Korea. And I said, "Your daughter has given her life to Jesus, and her name was Shushim, is the mother." I said, "Do you follow Jesus?" She said, no, we have no religion. I said, "Oh, really? You grew up in Seoul, Korea. There are many Christian churches there." And she said, "Yes, I went as a girl, but then I went to school, and I got busy, and I got a job, and then I was in college and graduate school, and I have not had time to consider Jesus. But now that my daughter has made a decision, we will be there on Sunday night, and I will consider following Jesus." The next lady, after the Korean, I talked to this wonderful family from Guatemala. This little kid, the Mendez kid, made a decision for the Lord, and so I talked to her dad, Justino Mendez, and he had enough English and I had enough Spanish for us to have a heart meeting. And I told that fella that his daughter had given her life to Jesus. "Has he ever done that?" He said, "You know, I'm thinking about that. We'll be there Sunday night." And then I talked to a family from Venezuela, Guatemala, Korea, Trinidad. We had the United Nations Vacation Bible School right here. And do you know what we were? We were that tree to help young eyes see Jesus. Let's pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.